Good evening, folks, and a hearty welcome to our drive-in theater. We have a wonderful evening's entertainment lined up for you.
One that will provide several hours of pleasurable relaxation.
Washington, London, Paris, Moscow are key targets. The whole world is under attack.
Who built it? The Russians? The Chinese? Martians? Canadians? I don't care! All I know is we didn't build it, and that's reason enough to assume the worst and blow up the kingdom come.
For 100,000 years, it was buried in the snow and ice. Now it has found a place to live. Inside. Where no one can see it.
Soldiers and their weapons would be powerless before the onslaught of the beast. The beast. The beast. The beast from 20,000 fathoms.
Guns, tanks, bombs. They're like toys against them.
It's indestructible. It's indescribable. Nothing can stop it. The nation and then the world could fall before the blood-curdling threat of...
Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In Podcast.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen, Godzillas and Mothras, aliens and predators. Welcome to this Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In Podcast.
Yay.
Woo! We're here again.
Yeah.
I am your conspiracy-loving host, Alisa Wegland, and sitting next to me is my radioactive partner in crime, Jarrett the Kaiju Man Wegland.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hi. I just saw you in the other room.
Oh.
Yeah.
I see you every day of my life.
Yes.
We start our double feature of May I Suggest May with a movie that made little 13-year-old Jarrett very angry, Jurassic Park 3.
Oh.
This was the first and only time I will ever see this movie. I have been trying so hard to not see this movie.
Yeah.
And it got picked for this random suggestion thing.
It wasn't as random because it was out of spite. It was like out of spite.
Well, people suggested things. Someone suggested this movie out of spite. And then a randomizer
picked it. Yes.
So thanks, Bespotted Geek Podcast.
Yeah.
For your shitty suggestion.
they just know I hate it so much, and they just love to see me suffer because they just hate me, I guess. I already explained it. They hate me. So yeah.
They're lovely.
We
love Bespotted Geek. We don't want people to think that they're bad.
Do not listen to their podcast. No. You should definitely listen to them. They are great.
Yes, they recommended this is what or they didn't recommend. They may I suggested.
Yes, they suggested Jurassic Park 3 and
an evil computer system picked it.
Yes, it actually picked it twice in a row because we are doing it twice for both of our movies and it picked it twice.
Cuz it really hates Jarrett.
Yes.
Really, really hates him.
If you want a video proof of that, that's on our Twitter.
Very I didn't sad. Know you recorded it. That's funny.
Yeah, it's on there.
But yeah, first, last time I'll ever see it, I've been trying so hard not to watch it.
It's been
so
years. Hard. It's been
so
years.
So hard. I was like, I'm never going to see this movie.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't seen it when Jarrett and I first started dating.
We does not, it's not, did not cross our threshold of our residences.
Yeah.
Because even
it
my
literally
trilogy.
Literally isn't even in, yeah, you're about to say.
I posted that video too.
It's not in the trilogy because Jarrett, whenever he gets a new trilogy for Jurassic Park, he throws out Jurassic
Chuck
Park
it. 3. Chuck it out of there.
I'm pretty sure I've said that on this podcast before, too.
Yeah.
But it's an important part of the Alisa and Jarrett lore.
Yeah, it is. Well, this is going to be a long episode, folks. Whether you like or hate this movie, you will like this episode.
Yes.
Trust me.
It's a fun.
It is fun.
Episode.
So we did watch this movie.
We did.
I did not own it, so I had to give Universal more money for this movie by renting it.
God damn it.
I think renting goes to them if you stream it.
Yeah, we had to, what was it, like?
Amazon.
$4 on yeah. Amazon?
Yeah, because even the SD version was $4. I would have even watched this movie in SD. I don't care.
Cheapest, least money given for this crap.
So it was $4 either way. So I went with HD $4. And we watched it on Amazon Prime.
Shout out to Amazon.
So we got it for another 24 hours, I think, if you want to enjoy it again.
Never in my life will I enjoy this movie again.
Yeah.
Unless I'm like really, really drunk. And alone
and sad
and someone just hit me in the head with a baseball bat
and you want to justify suicide or something.
Yeah. All those things.
So
let's start with the history behind the beast. The history. Jurassic Park 3 was announced in June 1998 but wasn't released until May 2001.
Yeah, it was announced like not even, like, just a little over a year after The Lost World.
Yeah, they were really excited to get it going.
It didn't come out till 3 years after that, which... Yeah,
for lots of reasons.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons for that.
It is the first film in the series not to have been directed by Steven Spielberg, nor based on a book by Michael Crichton, though numerous scenes in the film were ultimately taken from Crichton's novels, Jurassic Park and The Lost World.
Yeah, a lot of those scenes are the better scenes in this movie.
They're the best scenes in this movie.
Yeah.
So after the success of
Spielberg's.
After the success of Spielberg's Jurassic Park, Joe Johnston expressed interest in directing a sequel. Spielberg instead gave Johnston permission to direct a third film in the series if there was going to be one.
Yeah,
which unfortunately, there was a third film.
Yes.
It happened.
Yeah, Joe Johnston was going to be, he wanted to direct The Lost World. So he wanted to screw that movie up.
No, you can screw up the last one in that trifecta.
Yeah, which I like The Lost World. I don't care what anybody says.
The Lost World's great.
The Lost World is great.
Got Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, it was. It took,
Julianne Moore?
It took the reprising character and made it work. And this took the reprising character of Alan Grant
and
pooped
really
on it. And we'll get to that later. I'm fired up already.
Pooped on it. The film was going to be released in summer 2000, but major delays reslated the film for summer 2001 release.
Mm-hmm.
These delays were due to many factors, one major one being continuous rewrites to the script. They were constantly changing, adding, and subtracting to the script.
Yeah, this was one of the first movies that I was like part of a internet community for. Like, whoa. Part of forums and, like, stuff like that before, like, MySpace and all that kind of stuff. For Reddit, I was on, like, it was called JP3Legacy.com and JurassicParkOutpost.com. And there was all there's rumors and, like, oh, is this going to be in that? And then they, like, say, oh, they just cast William H. Macy. And, like, okay, this is cool, I guess.
Yeah. This was like the summer before you started high school.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, you were the prime age for being stoked on
exactly.
this movie.
Because I loved the first two, and I hadn't been disappointed. I had only one disappointment so far, and that was Godzilla, the Matthew Broderick. So I was like, oh, okay, just one disappointment. Like, I've had one disappointment. I can live with that. It's not going
to
happen.
So you could chalk that up to, like, oh, well, it was a Japanese character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
America screwed it up. You just got to keep, you know,
yeah, and
over there.
It's like, oh, no, Spielberg gave his blessing for this director. It's still produced by Spielberg, so it's good. It's going to be good.
Because it's always like those little, like, excuses you give yourself, like, no, like, it's going to be good for the, you know, these things. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
you always
exactly.
try and reason with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get faced with a big pile of poop.
Yep. And then you, like, start hearing rumors, like, something happens to the T-Rex. Maybe the T-Rex isn't in it. Like, maybe there's something else that's cool. It's like, oh, geez. And then,
this is why every time, like, when Jurassic World came out and when the new Godzilla came out, I had to basically hold Jarrett's hand the entire way through, like, production, filming, because every time a rumor came out, Jarrett would be like, I don't know. I heard that this was going to happen with this dinosaur in
Jurassic World. Oh, yeah. It was, I was.
You were a mess.
My trust was broken. So. And it turned out to be okay. I wasn't super like thrilled with it, but well, I was happy with it.
I think your expectations were so low that I don't think that they could have messed up for you.
No, and it was definitely a fan service because a lot of people were they knew that a lot of people were disappointed in this movie. Mm-hmm. So they were, because they even, I can't even go into it yet, can I? Because the T-Rex in Jurassic World, like, breaks through a Spinosaurus skeleton. Like,
and that's amazing.
That's a blatant
It's a blatant, like, nod to everybody who was pissed.
Yeah, it is.
That the Spinosaurus kills the T-Rex.
Yeah, and I don't even have a big problem with the Spinosaurus. I don't. There's way bigger issues with this movie.
I have a big problem with the Spinosaurus's terrible CGI.
Oh, the CGI, it has some problems.
It looks like garbage shit.
I think it's okay on the raptors at some points.
At some points, and I really like the raptor design in
this
movie.
Yes, I do. I really do like the raptor design. On the
that
females,
is a nod I will give to it.
The females and the males. Even the male raptors, how they have that line down the sides, it's very, it looks similar to Blue from Jurassic World.
Yeah, and I like the quills on the head because, mm-hmm. I mean, we definitely know now that raptors were definitely one of the dinosaurs that had feathers.
Yeah, but if they just went full feathered, that would, like, scare audiences away.
But adding the quills, that was very, like, forward-thinking for 2000.
Mm-hmm. But the new colorations where they with more colors, like some blues and some brighter greens and straying away from like the browns and the oranges from like the Lost World. I think those designs are really great, but they just don't utilize the characters and the raptors and
there was a lot more color in these dinosaurs in this movie, definitely. Even in like the brontosauruses everything.
They were like a lighter orangish brown.
They had like this really interesting like vein pattern almost on their hide.
And triceratopses, they had like zebra patterns too, which is not seen.
Anyway, we're like way off on a tangent.
It's okay. Right now. I'm going to do that this whole episode. So I'm trying to give some props to this.
That's a prop I'll give. I was very interested in their dinosaur design.
Yeah.
They did not execute the CGI on the dinosaurs very well, but their dinosaur design was definitely interesting. I wonder if it was the same guy.
Oh, Crash? Yeah, Crash McCreary, the one we have designs for. He did do a lot of the designs.
Well, that's why it's so great. He did the designs for all the movies. Mm-hmm. When you see where some of the people from the original are the same, that's where the goodness is.
Well, I promised that I would go into this with an open mind, and I did grab some moments and things that I'm going to give props to. And I will make sure that you know that I'm giving props to them so you can reference them later.
Like, all right, Jared said this positive.
All right.
And this one.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of script problems.
Yes, and this is what screwed up the schedule.
Yes. So the first draft of the script involved a group of teenagers marooned on Isla Sorna and the chaos that ensues.
Yeah, you like that? I put that in the notes.
I did.
Chaos. Yeah, you hear that?
Chaos.
Yeah, that sounds more interesting than the actual movie.
Yeah.
It sounds like Jaws 2. Have you seen Jaws 2?
No.
Where they just go, it has Chief Brody from the first movie, just kind of like how they brought Alan Grant back. But then it has, they just bring a shark back, and it attacks like some kids that are sailing.
Oh.
And then Chief saves them. That's what this kind of sounds like to me.
Mm-hmm.
They just stumble upon an island and that's what happens.
I mean, all of the original ideas sound way better than the final one.
A lot of them do, yeah. I mean, it doesn't sound like super intriguing, but it sounds like you can get a decent action adventure out of it.
Yeah.
If you cast some good people.
Definitely. So Michael Crichton was asked to come in and work with the screenwriters to brainstorm and come up with a new story for the film. But unfortunately, he left after only staying a couple days when he could not come up with an idea that he could even find remotely satisfactory. Yeah. He left in the earliest stages of the project.
Yeah, he was brought in 1998, so like super early.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, nah, I'm good. And then unfortunately, he passed away not too long after that, I think 5 years after that.
Which is so disappointing. It's like, Man, you like killed a spirit to make one last dinosaur film. And he did. Yeah. Oh. We could have gotten one more dinosaur film out of Michael Crichton.
Yeah. Another one of Spielberg's early ideas was having Alan Grant. He wanted to study the dinosaurs on the islands.
Mm-hmm.
But since he wouldn't be allowed on the islands, he'd be living in a tree like Robinson Crusoe or Land of the Lost. Did you ever see Land of the Lost on Nickelodeon?
No.
It was a show that had this family, and they were in a Jeep, and the Jeep falls through the ground, and then all of a sudden they're in the prehistoric times, and they build a treehouse, and the treehouse gets attacked by a T-Rex like every day.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was on Nickelodeon. It was really cool. It was when Nickelodeon was more daring.
It's when Nickelodeon wasn't run by a pedophile.
Ooh, yeah.
Shots fired.
Shots fired. Dan Schneider, get out of Hollywood. So the eventual director of the film, Joe Johnston, like we know, he did not like the idea. And he couldn't imagine Dr. Grant returning to the island to study these things that he loved after the whole incident with Jurassic Park.
Because between Steven Spielberg and Michael Crichton, Joe Johnston's the one who knows what's up with Dr. Grant.
Well, he's the director, so I guess, I don't know. Usually the producer, I don't know. Sometimes the producer will be like, okay, you get to choose.
I think Steven Spielberg just didn't give a shit anymore.
He didn't really. He really didn't.
He really didn't care.
Mainly he was really focused on AI, but we'll get to that too. He was directing AI because Stanley Kubrick died, and Stanley Kubrick was going to direct a film called AI. But he promised, Spielberg promised he would direct it for him, finish it for him. So that's why he was stuck doing AI.
That is not compatible.
No.
Steven Spielberg finishing Stanley Kubrick's film, that is so not the same.
even if, because Spielberg is a huge Kubrick fan, and they were, I don't know if they were friends, but well, they were friends. Enough to talk about finishing one's work. Yeah, just not really. He's not as harsh as Kubrick is. Like Spielberg's a lot more.
Their styles are so different.
He's way more whimsical, and he's not as pessimistic as Kubrick is. I don't know. He was stuck in that. I'm not a big fan of AI either. So I'm definitely mad that he was stuck on AI. So they kept doing rewrites, and they kept thinking that they should change the story and look at different versions of the story. And then another version of the script, which I think is the most compelling and good and best version of the script, came along. And it involved a pteranodon escaping Isla Sorna, which was left after The Lost World.
Mm-hmm.
And it would escape, and it would cause a string of killings along the mainland. It would go to Costa Rica and kill some people. And then Dr. Grant and a team of people would be called in to figure out how it escaped and what it wants to do or whatever. And they
kill
would,
people, obviously. Well,
yeah, but they want to know how it escaped, I guess. And they end up crash landing on Isla Sorna. And there's two separate plots. Like, one, people on the mainland trying to get the pteranodon, and the people on Isla Sorna dealing with being marooned. This version of the script featured a longer aviary sequence and a laboratory set piece. And they were much more complex, and they actually like stay the night in the laboratory, which is what I want when they go to that laboratory, which is a really cool scene. I don't know why it's like three minutes long. It's similar to a part in the book of The Lost World.
Yeah, I was going to say this plot line is way more close to The Lost World.
Yeah.
This would have like been The Lost World Part 2. Like they would have taken like the stuff that they didn't use in the book in The Lost World movie and basically used it for this, because they spend a lot of time in like the abandoned
hatchery
and area where people used to, you know, be in the lab and everything. And the aviary is part of Jurassic Park.
Yeah, the novel, the first book. Yeah, the hatchery scene was originally going to have like them camping out in the hatchery and then raptors stealthily coming in at night and coming and hunting them. Like, that would have been a way better scene than what we got in the movie. But they just skimped out. Like, a lot of times they have to skimp out on things. Like, the actual T-Rex and Spinosaurus fight, they ended up breaking one of the dinosaurs, and they had to cut that fight was going to be a lot longer.
Really?
Yeah, they ended up breaking the T-Rex neck right off.
Jesus Christ.
So yeah, script that I was just talking about, the script that I liked the most, that was actually green lit, and sets and props and costumes were made for this version, and a total of 5 weeks of shooting began, and then Joe Johnston and Steven Spielberg pulled back on that again, and they actually spent $18 million on it, even though they pulled back
wasted.
On it. They wasted $18 million on it.
Could you just imagine just wasting $18 million on, like, an idea?
I get sad wasting $18.
Yeah, I get sad when I buy something that doesn't work out that's, like, 20 bucks.
Yeah, they just felt that the story was too complicated. Like, yeah, you don't... Why does it have to be too easy?
Just leave it alone. Early versions of the scripts and storyboards had a Baryonyx as the main dinosaur instead of a Spinosaurus. Baryonyx is a very close relative of the Spinosaurus, and they looked basically the same. Baryonyx was slightly smaller and did not have the fin like the Spinosaurus did. Director Joe Johnston wanted a main dinosaur that would not be confused with the T-Rex. Though the Baryonyx would have been vastly different, the Spinosaurus had a bizarre look that no other carnivore had. And he wanted, like, to be so different, so crazy.
Yeah, he really wanted to create a whole new brand, almost. That's why he had the T-Rex killed, and so quickly. He was like, there's a new king. Like, he really wanted to sell those toys and shirts.
And it's boy, no kid knows Spinosauruses.
Yeah, yeah,
they
exactly.
They know T-Rex.
Yeah, they really grabbed on to Raptor, because mm-hmm. it's easy to say. Like, they don't usually say Velociraptor, but they'll say Raptor. It looks cool, even though it's technically a Deinonychus. It's Velociraptor is a much smaller creature. But
okay.
I won't get into paleontology. I'm not. But, yes, you can't really kill an icon like a T-Rex, like the T-Rex in the franchise.
Well, and all the kids who like dinosaurs, they don't know what a Spinosaurus is.
Yeah.
They don't know. When you teach a kid what dinosaurs are, you show them what a T-Rex is, you show them what a Triceratops is,
Stegosaurus,
Raptor. Like, those are, like, the basic dinosaurs. Like, a kid has no idea what a Spinosaurus is. When they see that on screen, it's just like, ah!
Yeah. Of course there's bigger, like, when I grew up, there's always, like, Tyrannosaurus is the biggest predator that ever walked. But of course, now we know it's not true, but mm-hmm. it's still iconic, and especially in that series, it's a character. It's not just antagonist. It's not just it's an actual character in the story.
I think that's why they brought the T-Rex back so hard from Jurassic World is because they were like, this was so beloved. Everybody loved the T-Rex.
That's exactly why they did that.
And they made sure you knew it was like the old T-Rex
mm-hmm, from the old park. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of the problems for the film was the fact that the script for the film wasn't even finished when they started filming.
Yeah, they just were like, let's just start out. Let's
just go. Major changes to the story were very common for the whole process.
Yeah.
So, that we've talked about another film that they started filming and the script wasn't done. I can't remember which one it was.
I do recall that, but I can't remember which movie that was.
But I'm pretty sure it was a bad one.
It doesn't
I'm
help.
Pretty sure that it was a bad one we were talking
I mean,
about.
It's common for them to do, like, little changes here and there, add a little scene to maybe clarify another thing that happens in the story later while they're shooting. Mm-hmm. But to have maybe a whole ending not there, or have a whole second act not there, or I don't even know what was missing, but that sounds a little bad. Maybe it is common. I don't know.
But it's just like, I don't know. I have a hard time writing a story that I don't know the ending of. How could you possibly make a movie worth millions of dollars without knowing the ending?
They just keep changing it. That's why they don't have an ending. So let's just do the plot real quick.
Because we got so much.
Alan Grant from the first movie
is a big pussy now.
He is a weenie. He hates dinosaurs.
Weenie man.
He's hired by this couple, wink wink, to go to Isla Sorna, fly over Isla Sorna, and just look at dinosaurs. Because they're adventurers.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, it's cool. I'm going to get money.
Yeah.
And we're not going to fly too low, but just low enough.
Yeah.
And so he's like super stoked about this because he's going to get his money. Yeah, he's fund a his greedy.
Dig. Fund his digs, just like the first movie. So they fly over and then they say, okay, we're going to land. And he's like, you cannot land here. And then they hit him on the head and then they land.
The guy who dies first punches him.
And then the stupid lady played by Taya Leone, she's saying, Eric, Eric, on a fucking megaphone. And she and Alan Grant's like, that's not a good idea. And then she attracts the Spinosaurus and he eats one of their guys. They try to take off. It runs into the Spinosaurus.
And crashes a plane.
Yes. So the Spinosaurus has a vendetta against them the whole time. What they're really there for is what they reveal that what they're really there for is to save the couple's son that crash landed there from a parasailing incident. And they wanted Grant there because he's an expert.
But they don't really have the money to give him.
Yes.
And they're not really a couple. They're divorced because the lady is married to this guy who also got lost on the island.
Yeah, and he's dead.
But she doesn't give a shit.
No. So they end up getting followed by raptors because Billy takes eggs.
Fucking Billy.
Billy is one of Grant's proteges. He's an idiot. He's one of the worst characters.
Awful.
There's There's a lot of bad characters. William H. Macy's an annoying character, even though he's great in Fargo. His character is so bad in this, and he is not good in this at all.
He is such a whiner.
I love him in Fargo, but he is so shitty in this movie. The kid, Eric, is awful. The worst kid in any Jurassic Park movie, even Jurassic World. Those kids sucked so bad.
What's awful about this movie is that the older white men are the best and the best forever, and the woman and the child are awful, which is so against Jurassic Park.
Yeah, let's...
Because in all of the movies, the woman is so badass, so strong, so amazing, always kicking ass. And the kids usually, like, are the ones that bring about the change in the adults. They're the ones that, you know, they can kick ass themselves, but they influence the adults to change.
Yeah, Claire's pretty good in Jurassic World, but the first two... Ellie and then Sarah in The Lost World. They are great female characters.
But the kids in the first two movies are amazing.
Yeah, they are way better to be around than Eric.
But they're the ones that they change the main character.
Yeah, yes. And there really is no change in Grant in this movie. Can you think of one?
No.
Does he learn to love dinosaurs again? I don't know what that...
No. They kind of steer maybe towards it when he first meets the kid and the kid's like, I've read your books.
Yeah.
But then it's just some dumb joke where he's like, did you read Malcolm's? And he's like, yeah, he's kind of full of himself. And they're like, ha, 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 ha. But then, like, they could have taken it in a turn where the kid shows him to love dinosaurs again.
Yeah.
And it would have been so Jurassic Park. But they kind of just, like, shit all over it.
They didn't even touch it again.
No.
They could have made him not like... No, because he likes kids now because he was playing with Ellie's baby. So it's not like he doesn't like kids and this is going to make him like kids. I don't know what he changed.
He didn't change anything. As I said, the thing that could have changed, they totally messed it up.
I mean,
don't know if they intended that to be the what you think is changed, but...
Maybe they're saying that the Kirbys, the couple, is the main characters, and they're the ones that changed because now they love each other again. But they are not the main characters because you don't want to be around them at all. All their scenes where they're like, they look at each other and they're like, why'd we get divorced? Like, they don't say that. But
they do that even before they find out that her new husband is dead. And then when they find out her new husband is dead, she like runs into the forest and then she's like crying like not even realistically. By the way, the acting is terrible in this. And these are all good actors, but they're all doing it terribly. But she runs into the forest, and then he's like, I'm sorry about Ben. And she's like, it's not about Ben. It's about our son. And then that's the last time they talk about the dead guy. Like, she does not give a shit. And it's like, you married this man. You can't just, like, it's so infuriating.
There's very capable actors in this. Sam Neill's a great actor. He has some moments in here, like the moment when he's realizing the area they're in is the bird cage. I think that moment he's pretty good acting in. But the mercenaries are great actors, I think. But they die really soon.
Immediately.
I think his name is Michael Jeter. He plays Udesky, the bald guy with the mustache. Mm-hmm. I think he died of AIDS, I think. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. But he was in Air Bud. He played the evil clown in Air Bud. But he acted in numerous films. That's just what I remember him in. Well, he's one of the better actors in this movie. And
I'm
he's
saying that there's great actors in it. It's
no,
just
I know
that
you are.
They're doing terribly. They're just...
They're not really given much.
It's frustrating because, like, to watch the Kirbys, who are two great actors.
Tay Leone's not that good. No. She's okay.
She's okay, but she does... They're both awful.
Their dialogue that they were given is really bad.
Yeah. And then also to make everybody seem even worse of actors, the sound editing and mixing is terrible in this movie.
Yeah.
So, like... There'll be a scene and you can just hear these weird noises, which just makes the scene even seem more awkward. And so just the whole time I'm like, why are we listening to these very loud footsteps? Like, it's just a baby running around the house. And it's just like over any other noise, you just hear like, boom, 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 boom. It's like, this is the weirdest sound mixing I've ever heard.
And when Grant punches Mr. Kirby, it sounds like someone slapped a ham, I think.
Yeah, it's like so cartoony. It was frustrating. It was frustrating to watch something that could have been decent just in every opportunity be like just pooped on.
Yeah. So, let's see.
Where were we?
Okay, so the raptors are chasing them and Grant gets separated from the group. Eric saves Grant with gas grenades and he takes him into an empty water truck where he's been living in with for 8 weeks. 8 weeks. People say this is a darker movie than Lost World. Darker? No, this is family friendly. A kid living on Isla Sorna for 8 weeks, all eating candy bars. And
yeah. No. Like in the Lost World, it is so dark. Even the way it's filmed is so much darker.
Oh yeah,
like just the cinematography, and because it's about capturing dinosaurs.
And most of it's at night. It's in the jungle. It's raining. Tons of people die. We'll get to that.
13 over the 4 in this.
Yeah.
So
only those are the ones that are on screen.
Yeah. So, I mean, I do not get who, why or who thinks that this is darker than The Lost World.
So, Grant and Eric, they go out to look for their parents and Billy. Eric hears a sound. Kirby's Paint and Tile Plus in Westgate. I know that because people do it to annoy me because they know that it's in this movie and I think it's dumb. It's the cell phone that his dad had and his stupid ringtone. And they run into the ringtone and they find the parents on the other side of this gate. And they're like, oh, I heard your ringtone. It's like, I don't have the phone. And then, oh, it's in the belly of the Spinosaurus.
Yeah, and the Spinosaurus is just behind them. Because they're just waiting for them to, like, realize that it's the phone.
Yeah, they're saying it's a homage to the crocodile in Peter Pan, how he had the clocks in his belly. You could hear him coming.
It's written by a pedophile.
Yeah, anyway. Peter Pan's written by a pedophile, so I don't care.
I don't give a shit.
So we move on. They run away from the Spinosaurus, which breaks through a giant fortified gate with no effort.
All this metal, like, it had to have been solid fucking metal, some of those bars.
And then it can't break through a little door to a little compound that they run into. And then they go into the aviary, and then they're attacked by pteranodons.
Which is my least favorite part.
Yeah, Elisa just does not like pteranodons.
I hate them. They're very scary.
I love pteranodons. This is actually a good scene. The pteranodon looks really great. At least the practical effects ones do.
Yeah, the pteranodons actually, I was impressed.
Yeah, I love how it comes out of the mist on the little terrace thing that they're on. That's a really good shot, actually. There's some props right there. Make sure you put it on your little countdown.
Second props.
But yeah, Billy ends up getting knocked down, and we think he gets killed. We hope he gets killed.
Fucking Billy.
They finally make it to a boat and then they're going down putta putta putta. Then the boat is attacked by the Spinosaurus.
And they all go and run into like a cage on the boat.
Yeah.
And like lock themselves in this cage. I'm like, why on a boat would you lock yourself in a cage while you're being attacked?
So Grant calls Ellie on the satellite phone. It's a little humorous thing that we get. Ellie's Ellie's the little boy answers the phone, and then it's like, hey, it's the dinosaur man. It's Joe Johnston. It's Joe Johnston's attempt at Spielberg humor, but he fails.
And so, of course, the dinosaur Spinosaurus rips the cage off and, like, pretty much tries to drown him.
Yeah, it sinks.
Because it's like, of course it would. You're in a cage. And so Dr. Grant gets away.
They all eventually get out of the cage. Yeah. The dad gets on a little crane.
Yeah, and he gets on the crane to try and distract
the
dinosaur.
Hey, over here.
And then everyone gets away, and they shoot a flare and set the Spinosaurus on fire. But the Spinosaurus is just like, and like walks away.
And that's the climax of the Spinosaurus. The most underwhelming big baddie dinosaur ending scene I've ever in any Jurassic Park movie.
The first Jurassic Park, the last scene of the T-Rex murders some raptors and goes whoo, and it's got the banner.
Yep. And then the Lost World, the T-Rex is being put into that boat. And then the last scene actually is we see the island with the two T-Rexes with their baby.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cool scene.
And this one, the Spinosaurus walks away.
Yeah.
On fire.
Just, ow, fire. And even Jurassic World, the T-Rex has a great triumphant on the helipad.
Awesome.
So, yeah, that's the last time we see the Spinosaurus, the new big baddie dinosaur that they really wanted us to see, that just scared of some fire.
And it's not even like when it's walking away, it only has like a tiny spot on fire still.
So they're running away, and we think they hear the shore. They're like, oh, the shore's here. And then they're like, oh, yay. And then all of a sudden there's the raptors again.
And this is the dumbest fucking scene.
The wasted opportunities. This movie is a patch of wasted opportunities. The hatchery, the raptors, all this. So yeah, they're surrounded by raptors. They're like, they want the eggs.
Give them the eggs. But they're just standing there sniffing this lady. And it's like, you would be fucking dead by now.
Yeah.
These raptors would not be sniffing you for your for their eggs. They would fucking tear you to shreds. They're the most intelligent predators that have like ever existed.
I know the books are different canon, but the books, the raptors are fucking savage.
They are, and that's how they would be. Like, they kill their own baby.
Yeah.
In the book. They don't give a shit.
Yeah. They'll eat your candy bar, like in The Lost World, but then they'll rip you and rip your bones out of your body while you're alive.
Yeah. Like, it drove me nuts when this raptor's, like, sniffing this lady's head.
So especially after a very underwhelming Spinosaurus scene, we're like, okay, we're going to at least get a raptor scene, a cool raptor scene.
No, absolutely not.
So they give them the eggs back, and they're like, oh, I'm going to take the egg. And then Grant sees the resonating chamber that they made. By the way, I call it the raptor flute. So if I see
it's a raptor flute.
It's a raptor flute. It's like a poke flute. So Grant takes out this raptor flute, and they go.
Yeah, and like the raptors start being like, what? Huh? Huh? What? And they're like freaking out.
Say what?
And then the guys are like, make it sound like a help noise or whatever. And so, like, he blows it differently. And then the raptors freak out a little more. And then there's noises, so they run away.
Yeah, they run away from the helicopter noises.
Yeah, and it's like, that was the most pointless fucking scene.
Yeah, thanks for giving.
Why did you even do the flute shit?
Thanks for letting us look at the raptors for two more minutes while they didn't do anything.
But the flute thing, it was like so pointless. Like what did that do? What did that even do? You just blew it and it confused raptors?
If the helicopters didn't come, they probably would have still ate them.
It's not like the flute did anything. But anyway.
So they make it to the beach.
It turns out Ellie called like the whole military.
Because her husband was with the State Department or something. They just threw that in there so they could throw in that ending.
Yeah. So then they take them off the island. And then three pteranodons fly off the island. And they watch them fly away. And there's like romantically happy music. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
It's a cheap homage to the first film.
But it is stupid. They are letting murderous fucking dinosaurs fly off the island.
You just hate pteranodons.
I do not. It murdered people.
Not maybe not those ones. Maybe those ones are nice.
Jarrett.
Alisa.
They tried to murder the little boy. They should have murdered Billy. I don't know how he survived.
Oh, yeah. By the way, he's on the helicopter.
Yeah. There's no fucking way he would have lived. But fucking anyway.
Idiot. I hate that character.
Me too. But they are murderous dinosaurs. They are not nice. And even if they were nice, the government's not going to let them free. Are you kidding me?
Well, they
me?
Didn't.
No. Shh. Are you kidding me? No. If they were flying off the island, that military would have shot them down in 2 seconds. There was 3 of them against, like, the entire military.
Okay.
Just shoot them. No, that, like, that's the thing that makes me the most angry. Is they're, like, playing this happy music as they're flying off, and they're all watching them like, oh,
I think that was just their only attempt at an arc, saying, oh, Grant, you still like dinosaurs, don't you?
It's fucking horseshit.
Bingo.
The only benefit that that ending had was to bridge some shit for Jurassic World.
No, I think they had to write that just like constructively.
To make the ending make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What we're talking about is the one good, decent story to come out of Jurassic Park 3 is the character Vic Hoskins, played by Vincent D'Onofrio in Jurassic World, the bad guy.
Yeah, the bad guy who wants to use the raptors as weapons.
Yeah, he has official character canon that he was hired to hunt those pteranodons down by Mizrani Corp, the people that bought Engine. And that was where his career started. And that's official canon now. It's on the website. Which is kind of cool. It's kind of a cool story.
It's very interesting, and it does give that whole thing a reason, but it's still stupid, and I hate it.
It is stupid that the government would just let him go. Yes. But I do like the idea of Vic Hoskins having a little backstory with the company.
Yeah, that's it. That is interesting. So, is this a fan rumor? Bad script? Bad acting? It is subtly implied that Billy was in on the expedition to search for Paul and Amanda Kirby's son from the beginning.
Yeah, this is a common thing among JP fans.
Yes. There are 4 distinct moments. 1, Billy gives a look that implies he was aware that Paul Kirby would be arriving after showing Dr. Grant the Velociraptor resonating chamber.
Yeah, he's like, hey, what's that? Hey.
2, Paul Kirby, after introducing himself to Grant, says, how you doing, Billy?
Yeah.
Implying that the two already knew each other.
Yeah, just straight up. How you doing, Billy?
3, in the same scene, Billy hastily responds, we'd love to, Paul Kirby's request.
Yeah, when Grant's like, I'm not sure, Billy kind of pushes him towards it.
4, on the plane ride to the island, Billy turns around with a clearly facetious look on his face, asks Cooper, how do you know the Kirbys? With which Cooper responds, through our church, with an equally sarcastic look. The fact that Billy steals raptor eggs in an effort to fund the dig site, along with his initial excitement of traveling to Isla Sorna, is further evidence of this fact.
Yeah. So they're saying that Billy also knows Cooper.
You know, I would believe that this was intentional if the script wasn't so shitty.
Well, yeah.
Because this is actually a good underlying plot line.
This underlying plot line, this conspiracy theory, is one of the few things making this movie interesting for me. So when I found it in my research, I had to bring it up.
So there is new additions to the JP canon.
Yeah. According to the Mizrani Global website, which is a treasure trove of new canon that they're adding after the release of Jurassic World and the new movie, they're saying that John Hammond was dead by the time of these events of Jurassic Park 3.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the same website, the reason that Spino wasn't on Engine's list, as they say, is because it was like a soft prototype for Dr. Wu and Vic Hoskins and the Indominus Rex. They were playing around. They were playing around with hybrid ideas all the way back then. And specifically, this plays into the theory on why it was chasing the humans, like relentlessly chasing the humans. And that's why it was so powerful against the T-Rex, because they're designed to be so much more and intelligent than normal dinosaurs.
That makes sense.
It's just another rumor.
Well, it's something that probably people thought of after to bring things together, because there's no way back in 2000.
No.
That they were thinking this.
No, they weren't thinking that back then. It was when these hybrid things were coming out, and then they were like, oh, we should connect it with this and all that.
Yeah, they were like, oh, well, let's take the fact that it was shittily done and they made the dinosaur too strong and we'll add it to our canon.
Yeah, it's also how they explained a lot of the other things that weren't on the list, like the Ceratosaurus wasn't on the list.
So, moving on to production.
Other directors before Joe Johnston that were considered were Stephen Sommers. He directed The Mummy and The Mummy Returns.
Right.
Those were pretty good movies. The Mummy more than The Mummy Returns.
I haven't seen The Mummy.
You haven't seen The Mummy?
Nope.
They're pretty good. At least of the 90s, like action-adventure-y movies. And another one was Jean Dubont. He was mainly a cinematographer. Well, he is a cinematographer. He did, like, Die Hard. He was a cinematographer on there. But he was also a director. He did a couple movies. He did Speed, which is a great movie, and Twister, which is a really good movie as well. I think he would fit the bill for Jurassic Park 3. Jean Dubont more than Stephen Sommers. But unfortunately, Joe Johnston got the director's chair. He did direct some good movies. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Jumanji, but...
You would think with Jumanji under his belt, he'd be a little better.
I think with Jumanji, yeah. That I had some hope after hearing he did Jumanji. And Honey, I Shrunk the Kids has a lot of good practical effects. Big puppets and stuff like that. I don't know.
So Spielberg's AI, artificial intelligence, had a huge effect on this film. It kept Spielberg too busy to babysit Joe Johnston, unfortunately. But the music was also greatly affected. John Williams was contacted to write the music, but he was busy writing the music for AI, artificial intelligence. Composer Don Davis was chosen as composer at Williams' recommendation. P.S. AI sucks.
Yes.
That's in the notes.
Yeah, I wrote that.
I haven't seen AI, so I can't comment.
So, yeah, I think the music did suffer without having John Williams doing it. There's some good points in the music, but I think a lot of times it seems like a cheap imitation of John Williams.
The whole thing seems like a cheap imitation, babe. So the film took a huge deviation from the previous film, The Lost World Jurassic Park. It was filmed with the goal of being more family-friendly and aimed at having a much lighter tone.
Meh.
It was even shown on ABC Family.
I can't believe that.
Jurassic Park 3, of course, had a much lower body count of 4 with 1 Disney death, contrasting the previous film's 13 on-screen deaths. So what is a Disney death?
A Disney death is just when they make you think someone's dead and they're alive at the end.
So Billy's death is a Disney death.
Like Snow White, they make you think she's going to die. Like with the poison.
Okay, I feel that.
I mean, Disney's a little softer than what they did in Jurassic Park
3. I was going to say, like, because, like, you know they ain't dead.
Well, of course.
Like, I thought Billy would dead.
Yeah, yeah. But that's just...
I was hoping Billy would.
That's just a common... thing. Like, doesn't they just bring, they're not dead, but they make you think like they're gonna die.
There were a lot of scenes in Jurassic Park 3 that were taken from the two previous books and from scenes that were discarded from the two previous films.
Yeah.
So Billy steals dinosaur eggs in Jurassic Park 3, just like Lewis Dodgson, Howard King, and George Basleton do in the Lost World novel.
They take T-Rex eggs, though. And they get eaten
yes.
for it.
Yes, they do.
They have the little sonic sound thing that like makes dinosaurs run away. But then I think the batteries fall out of it. And then the T-Rex comes and eats them.
Oh, my gosh.
It's been a while totally since I read it.
Yeah, no, they. I think they are in a Jeep.
I think one of them gets killed by a raptor, but two of them get killed.
There is a lot going on in the Lost World novel that you do not see in the Lost World movie.
No, it's totally different.
Like, seriously, I would highly suggest if you are a Jurassic Park fan
to read the
books. The books are fucking amazing.
Most fans have read the books.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I was a big fan of Jurassic Park, and I didn't read the books till we started dating.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even know there was a Lost World book. Mm-hmm. I knew there was a Jurassic Park book, but I was like, man, whatever. Like, I hadn't heard that, anything about it.
Yeah.
And then when we started dating, I mean, you owned them. Mm-hmm. So I was like, might as well. And I read them, and they're amazing. Like, I'm not even, like, you know, overstating this.
No, yeah.
They're really amazing books.
I was reading them in elementary school, like violent ass shit.
Jesus Christ.
It was.
I was getting nightmares from goosebumps in elementary school. Fuck. So, the laboratories of the engine compound resembled those of the Lost World novel. The laboratories were not specifically seen in the Lost World Jurassic Park, but did show an abandoned facility building.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most interesting parts of Jurassic Park 3 is the laboratory scene, even though it's not...
Definitely.
Even though it's more of a tease and it's not really what I wanted. I really wanted to see more of the laboratory and the facilities, and I just like that whole mythos around, like, what happened at the park, like, when it was shut down and, like, when they had to let the animals go. Like, that whole letting animals go on the island, it's, like, crazy.
Well, I mean, that's something else that they really tackle in The Lost World is it's...
Yeah.
They literally... Michael Crichton really makes you feel like this is an abandoned human place.
Yeah, exactly.
Filled with dinosaurs. Like...
Nature's reclaiming it.
Yeah. When they go, like, into the facility, like, I really thought they did a great job with the abandoned facility.
Mm-hmm.
And the hatchery, because when I was reading The Lost World, it was almost exactly like how I was imagining it.
How I pictured it as well.
Mm-hmm, because that's such a huge part of The Lost World that I really missed in the movie.
Yeah.
Is, you know, the whole time they're in this facility when they're hiding from the Carnotaurus.
Yeah. Carnotaurus, yeah. Which is a great part of the book that still hasn't been in a movie.
I know. I would love to see them take all of these elements out of The Lost World and Jurassic Park still that haven't been used.
Yeah.
That are really interesting.
Yeah. But yeah,
and put them in a fucking movie.
Even though I loved seeing at least a glimpse of the lab in this, I think it was another missed opportunity.
Missed opportunity. Definitely. The aviary first appeared in the Jurassic Park novel, but was ultimately not seen in the first film. And I think that they did redeem themselves on this one as not showing it that much, because in Jurassic World, we get a whole eyeful of some aviary.
Oh, yeah, because it's like prepped for like the park opening. Like, it's all brightly lit. This is like a broken down aviary.
Oh, this is like a fucked aviary.
It's fogged. It's the shit hasn't been cleaned up.
Well, this wasn't like for...
No, this is a holding tank.
Yeah, this wasn't for like, you know, tourists or anything.
No.
This is just where they keep them.
Yeah.
Till they bring them out. And in Jurassic World, though, we got to see like this big dome. Like a whole thing set up, you know.
But this is another
this
thing.
This is just creepy.
Yeah, I like... This is another thing I'm giving props to is this scene.
I like the way that it's done, because at first you have no idea where they are, what they're doing, and it's really creepy.
Yeah, and the way that, like I said, the way that comes out of that fog, just walking, the way it walks like a big bat on its knuckles like that, it's really, really creepy. Because it doesn't have a silhouette of anything you would think of. Like, it doesn't have a silhouette of a man, doesn't have a silhouette of any...
It's like a big square.
Yeah, it's really weird.
So the pteranodons take the place of the
Cerrerodactylus
from the first novel.
Yeah, that's just a minor change.
Yeah.
Pteranodons are just more popular.
They're probably more recognizable.
Yeah.
So the boat attack from the Spinosaur ultimately resembles a scene from the first novel where Dr. Grant and the kids travel in a rowboat down the river and are attacked multiple times by the Tyrannosaurus.
Great part of the book.
It is a great part of the book, and they didn't even include like a river.
No, it's really weird. It's weird that they put the river in the video game for Sega. Like, it's a prominent part of the video game. So they did acknowledge the book in some ways. I don't know if they, like, gave a treatment of the book to, like... Because when people make games and stuff, they don't have the movie yet.
Well, usually, I mean, that does tend to happen. I mean, some of, like, the Harry Potter games will have elements of the book that the movie doesn't have just because they have more time.
Yeah, Or maybe a lot of times it's in the script and it gets cut out of the movie. So that sometimes they'll get a copy of the script, but and then they make that part of the movie or the game, and then it gets cut out of the movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Special effects is pretty similar to the previous two movies. Stan Winston Studios, great practical effects. They do all the animatronics. They did the raptors, the T-Rexes. for all the films, and the Spinosaurus for this one. They look great. The raptors especially look great in this. They don't use them too much, which is unfortunate, but the colorations, they look great. They move flawlessly in this. They move even better than The Lost World. And there's one point where Udesky is crawling on the ground and one is walking and steps on his back. That's also a suit, a guy in a suit. They have legs.
Really? I didn't even know that.
They have legs someone can walk in, and those legs look great.
Yeah, I mean, the practical effects in this movie were pretty good, but I was really disappointed with the CGI, because even the CGI in the previous two films, I felt was better than this.
Oh, yeah, it's better than that.
Like, I felt the CGI in this film, for being years after, was not up to par. Like, even it should have just been on the same level, at least. But I felt like it was worse.
I think it's because it's plagued by that early 2000s CGI confidence, where they thought everything was great in CGI, and they thought everything we could do in CGI, we should do. Instead of the mid-90s and most of the late 90s, where they're like, we're using CGI where we have to, and we're using practical effects where we can't, like, as much as we can.
They tried to have a way better balance.
Yeah. I think
in the early 2000s, you get shit like Spy Kids.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Those fucking walking thumbs made of CGI.
You get way more shots of full CGI dinosaurs in this. Yeah.
Like, the Spinosaur, like, there's way too many times where it's just full CGI and it just doesn't look right.
I got to give props to the Spinosaur attack scene when it's attacking the airplane. It actually looks pretty good. Like,
whole airplane scene, like, when the Spinosaur is attacking the airplane, I thought that was really well done.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But I just didn't like the CGI parts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also the sound mixing was really bad.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the Spinosaurus animatronic was the largest animatronic ever built, and it weighed 12 tons.
Jesus.
It was able to operate submerged in water.
That's
which
pretty impressive.
Helped for it in that boat scene. The CGI was, of course, taken care of by ILM, which also worked on the first two films. But I think they worked a little too hard on this one, or a little too much.
They should have toned it down.
One of the big disappointments for me is they made a pteranodon suit, a full pteranodon suit that a man can get in and use. And while they did have a puppet version, which was still pretty cool looking, they did have a suit, and there are videos of it on Stan Winston's site you can go look at that are pretty cool, and it looks pretty frightening.
But they did not use the suit for the film.
No, they did not.
Which is the disappointing part.
Yeah, sad. Cheaping out, man.
Cheaping out, you cheap bastards. Okay, so moving on to reception. How was this movie received, Jarrett, by the public?
Well, I don't know, man. let's take a little dip first. Let's see. Trevor Morgan, the kid who played Eric, one of the worst kid characters in the Jurassic Park movie.
I fucking hate him.
He said that his friends bought his action figure and fed it to their dogs. So I guess good. I guess those kids didn't like the movie, or just didn't like him, like me.
I think they just didn't like their friend.
What's funny is that kid that played Eric was also in a Barney movie. So he was in two dinosaur movies.
He was in two bad movies.
On Rotten Tomatoes, JP3's reviewer score has a rotten 50%. And the user score is even worse at a 36%.
Expected. It should be lower, but expected.
But unfortunately, the film before this, The Lost World, isn't that much better. The reviewer score.
What?
I have to be truthful. The reviewer score is only about like a 55%, but the user score is much higher at around like a 53%.
That's still bullshit.
It is bullshit, but
I'm sorry, I'm calling Bullshit.
It is much better. Lost World is better.
Lost World is way better.
Yeah, Ebert. Our old friend Ebert. Why don't you fill him in what Ebert said?
So first, Richard Roper gave it a thumbs down. Thank you, Roper.
Yeah, Roper. Give us.
But Roger Ebert awarded it a thumbs up. In a subsequent review, Ebert called it the best blockbuster of the summer.
Oh, no.
Must not have been any other movies that summer.
Oh, there was the Tim Burton Planet of the Apes.
Oh, okay. So then maybe it was the best blockbuster.
The Mark Wahlberg Planet of the Apes.
In his written review,
Ebert... Why are there so many apes? There's so many apes on this planet. It's like the Planet of the Apes.
So in his written review, Ebert gave the film 3 stars and wrote that while the film was not as awe-inspiring as the first film or as elaborate as the second, it's a nice little thrill machine. I can praise it for its art, but I must not neglect its craft.
So yeah, our friend Ebert
is a piece of poo, and I hate him.
We've always referenced him when we can, and we all
he's
know.
He's always wrong.
And he's always wrong. So and
I guess that when we have the information, Leonard Maltin, but...
Yeah.
I don't think that very often we find that easily.
he charges
for it.
Pay for
his book. Yeah, you gotta pay for his book. Thanks, Leonard Maltin.
Leonard Maltin.
So, in 2014... paleontologist Dr. Nizar Ibaram and Dr. Paul Sereno presented compelling evidence that indicated that the Spinosaurus was not a land-based animal. This was a creature that had mostly adapted to life in the water, floating like a crocodile, eating mostly fish and other water-based creatures. On land, the Spinosaurus had walked on 4 legs, thus the abnormally large forearms. The battle between the T-Rex and the Spino would look very different from the one that was in the movie. Dr. Paul Sereno stated that in the film, it is the Tyrannosaurus that got the first big bite and should have won the fight. With a bite force of up to 23.5 metric tons, the T-Rex should have bitten the Spinosaurus's head off or crushed the vertebrae inside.
Yeah. Now, like I said, I don't hate the Spinosaurus. But it should be dead.
But it should be dead.
And also,
probably never would have been on land anyway.
They're a completely different class of predator.
Yeah, it would have been like it should have fought in the Mosasaurus.
Yeah, T-Rex kills large duck-billed dinosaurs and ceratopsians.
So it's my least favorite dinosaur.
And yeah, you love duckbills, but those are big animals. And this kills big fish and large... amphibians and things that hang out near the water.
Yeah.
It's not suited for combat, really.
And it's not going to fight the T-Rex.
It wouldn't stand a chance. It would run away.
Fucking.
I don't know. It's 65 million years ago. You can't.
We're not paleontologists.
It's all speculation, and I just want to stand up for the Rexy.
I just want the T-Rex to win.
Also, when you... if you want to dive into the Jurassic Park nerddom, the T-Rex in this film is about 3 or 4 feet smaller than the T-Rex in the last film. So it was a younger T-Rex. So basically, you're picking on a teenager T-Rex.
Motherfucker.
I don't know. I always, as a teenager... I was trying to rationalize how bad this movie is, so I picked everything apart. Like, that's a smaller T-Rex. It looks smaller. And that's why I lost, because it's a teenager. And it doesn't matter. Spinosaurus, it's not the Spinosaurus's fault. It's just a bad movie.
Yeah. You can't pick apart something that's made poorly. They didn't intend any of those things to be there.
Yeah, and it's fictional.
It's not like they're like... We're going to make it like 3 feet less feet than the last one. And we're not going to tell nobody. Except for this one kid in the Inland Empire is going to see this VHS and figure it out.
And it's all completely fictional. The Dilophosaurus didn't spit. The raptors weren't that tall. It's not all based on facts. I know. The T-Rex and Spinosaurus didn't live on the same continent.
If people are going to attack us on that kind of shit... then they're listening to the wrong podcast.
Yeah. If you don't want opinions, you're in the wrong place.
Well, you're going to be like, it's all fake anyway.
I know.
Oh, no. Are you serious? It's not a documentary? Oh, no.
Oh, I've been wasting my time talking about these.
I wasted my life's work.
So, I mean, I could go on and on about this movie, but I tried to pick some good things about this movie, and I gave some props.
Yeah, we gave props where it was due.
And we gave you a little bit of history about it, so even if you like the movie, you got a little bit of facts about it.
And you gotta hear us in pain.
And bitch. And bitch. Bitch and bitch and bitch. But we still love you even if you love this movie.
Yeah, it's not like we think you have bad taste.
Or that you stink. Or that you can't pick a good movie in a
bespotted geek
ever. Like, you don't like anything that's good, or you got poopy in your pants. Or it's not like we think you're that. Like,
no. If you like Jurassic Park 3, good for you.
Yeah. Good for you.
Good for you.
Good for you. Now go spell cat.
I'm trying to be nice right now.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Ooh.
If you like Jurassic Park 3, then I'm very happy for you. You can have all of the Jurassic Park 3.
Yeah.
It's all yours.
Even mine. When I buy a new trilogy, when I get the 4K one, I'll send you the Jurassic Park 3 instead of throwing it away.
Yeah.
Maybe.
We'll mail it to you. But yeah, you can have it. That's the thing. If you like something I hate, that
I'll
just means
give it to
I'll
you.
Give it to you. You can have it.
So anyway, that's our
that
Jurassic
fun.
Park 3 episode. The next episode is also a dinosaur movie.
Oh, the randomizer was like, I think you guys need some dinosaurs in your life.
But at least it's one I like. It's not a good movie. Well, it's kind of good, but it's all stuff. It's all opinion, I guess. It's Carnosaur. It's a movie that has Laura Dern's mom in it, and it was made the same year as Jurassic Park. How crazy is that?
I'm excited.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't seen this one, so another one bites the dust.
Yeah, it's great. And that one was suggested by Home Video Hustle Podcast. So you should check out Home Video Hustle Podcast and Bespotted Geek. Also, you should check out our Patreon, maybe become a patron, because we're going to be throwing up a lot of good stuff.
We already got some good stuff on there if you want to go and check it out.
Yeah, Bigfoot Erotica.
Bigfoot Erotica and scripts from some of our recent episodes.
Along with our regular stuff that's already been up there, sticker packs, other stuff, I don't know.
Oh,
just check it out.
Check it out.
At patreon.com/sfdfdipodcast.
And, of course, if you want to participate in polls, tell us what you think, any of that shit, you can always follow us on
Twitter,
because that's usually where the polls and everything are.
Yes.
But Instagram, you can see pictures.
And on Twitter, it is SFDFDIPodcast. Yes. I forgot my own Twitter.
But, yeah.
So, yeah.
So, yeah.
I hope you enjoy this episode, and look out for Carnosaur, and next week we will have an underground.
Yes.
We don't know what we're doing yet, but you will enjoy it, I promise.
And this was lots of fun, even if it was a movie we didn't like.
Of
it's
course.
Still fun to watch we don't like because we get to make fun of it.
We still love Bespotted the Stork.
But anyway, we will see you on the other side.
One thing that can save you from bad movies is Godzilla. Praise
Godzilla.
Him.
You gotta praise
You've
Godzilla.
Gotta praise
you
gotta, him.
You don't praise Godzilla.
He gives you love, and you better take it, put it in your heart, and then you share that love with the world.
Godzilla fucking shits on your face.
See what movie's playing next at Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In on Instagram, Facebook, and our website, justaddthat.com. Catch us on Twitter at SFDFDIPodcast.
We sure hope you enjoyed the movie. Thank you for joining us. As always, we're glad to have you. Please replace your speaker, dispense of all trash, and watch for children as you carefully exit our theater. Good night.